Good morning, Mori Rabosai. This morning, we're very privileged to have a special shiur that our shul is excited to host. The number of people in our community beyond who are learning the Daf HaShavua, and they're up to Maseches Rosh Hashanah on Daf Chof, and it's a very fascinating sugya, which according to some, as early as the Sefer Kuzari, has ramifications. What we refer to today as International Dateline. We know that most of the first parak, and the second parak, and even into the third parak, Maseches Rosh Hashanah talks about matters relating to Kiddush HaChodesh, to the Molad, and so on. Some of these issues are very, very complicated. But the Daf HaShavua is very pleased to be able to bring Rav David Heber Shlita from Baltimore, the Rav of the Shul there, and one of the leading Rabbanim in the Star K. I understand from the flyers, he's speaking at a number of different places today, in different communities in the northern New Jersey, New York area. And we're very excited to have him here in the Shul. Without any further delay, Rav David Heber Shlita.
First of all, the answer, thank you very much. That you continue to be Marbitz Torah in your kehillah and in the community at large. And again, thank you very much for coming, Yashakayach, to Rabbi Goldman and the others who assisted in putting this together. Those learning Daf Shavua have learned Rosh Hashanah, and throughout, and those who are here who are now learning Daf Shavua are familiar with the Masechta Rosh Hashanah, where it speaks about the Edim who would come and of course see the new moon, and they would come into Beis Din, they would say Mekudesh, and the everyone around would say Mekudesh, Mekudesh. So of course we reenact this every month when we just Mevarach Chodesh this past month. In the year 4119, of which is 358, 359 of the Common Era, the calendar became Al Pi Cheshbon, which means by calculation the Sanhedrin was on the run, it was already determined that it's not going to work out, and therefore the cheshbon of Kiddush HaChodesh began. And the basis of the cheshbonus of how to establish the calendar are found in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, which you have learned. And I want to go through just an understanding of that, and then one of those details of understanding how to establish the calendar and how to establish Rosh Hashanah, we come out, as the Rav said, the Kuzari, the Bala Maor, speak about how the Gemara works out, and the Chazon Ish understood from the Bala Maor and the Kuzari where the international dateline is. So the Bala Maor on the Sugya doesn't say the word international dateline, but he by definition is speaking about the international dateline. So let's go through this Sugya and first understand how we establish the calendar, and very, very relevant in the Geya, because Chanukah, why is Chanukah going to be on Wednesday, and why was Rosh Hashanah, this past Rosh Hashanah, on a Thursday, and why is next Rosh Hashanah going to be on a Monday? How does it all work? You open up your calendar, you get many calendars in the mail. Who decided that this calendar, should be? So Ezra's Torah Luach. Well, who told Ezra's Torah Luach? Well, they looked at the tour. Well, how did the tour know what to do? And so on. So let's go through this. The Maylad is the time of the new moon. The new moon is, as we know, the moon goes around the earth. It takes 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes, and one chelik. For that to happen, a chelik is equal to 3 1/3 seconds. If you listen carefully to the announcement of the Maylad every month, you will hear it increases by one chelik every month, because that chelik at the end, tagged on, 44 minutes and a chelik, it adds up. If you listen carefully this past Shabbos, you thought maybe the Kabbalah made a mistake, but he didn't. There was no chalakim this month. So you listen next month, it'll be one, and the Shvat will be two, other will be three, etc. Every 18 months, we come to no chalakim. Actually, every 87 years, there's no minutes or chalakim. That last happened, we announced the Shabbos of Tevarachim 2004. Habolein L'Toiva in 2092 will be the next time there's no minutes and no chalakim that we have. But that's the progression. This time is an average time. It's when the earth passes between the sun, the moon passes between the sun and the earth, and therefore you don't see any moon. I should mention that many months it's a little higher or lower, so it does not eclipse the sun. However, this past Erev Chodesh El, there was a solar eclipse where the moon actually passed between the earth and the sun and actually blocked. If you were in the right place at the right time, then you actually saw that, and that always happens. You'll note a solar eclipse always happens on Rosh Chodesh or Erev Chodesh, because that is the time of the new moon. Now, when the new moon occurs, so Chazal said like this, the main Maylad, the Maylad is the time of the new moon, the main Maylad is the Mailad of Chodesh Tishrei. And the whole Gemara, when it speaks about the rules of the Luach, is Halacha L'Maisa refers to the month of Tishrei. The rest of the Mailadis that we have really don't relate to the month. When they announced the Mailad this past Shabbos, it was to know when Sefer Kish Levana is to reenact what the Beis Din did. But Rosh Chodesh Kislev was not on Sunday because of the Mailad. Rosh Chodesh Kislev was on Sunday because Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan was on Friday and Shabbos, because Rosh Hashanah was on Thursday and Friday. Now, what we have to understand is there were only 29 days of Cheshvan this month. Why was that? And what is that all about? So that's what we're gonna talk about. The Gemara speaks about a rule that of known as Loi Adu Rosh. The Gemara elaborates a little bit on the concept of Yontif or Yom Kippur cannot fall out on a Friday or a Sunday. And the Gemara says, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, on Daf Chaf says, Mishum Masya or Mishum Yarkia. What that means is, if Rosh Hashanah would be on a Wednesday, Yom Kippur would be on a Friday. If Rosh Hashanah would be on a Friday, Yom Kippur would be on a Sunday. So just think about it. Imagine Yom Kippur on a Friday or a Sunday. The Gemara says you wouldn't be able to bury a mace because you're not able to bury a mace on Yom Kippur. So you'd have 2 days in a row unable to bury a mace. Yarkia is about the vegetables, things you won't be able to cook. You can't cook on Yom Kippur. So to make it practical, how would you bench, just a practical example, if Yom Kippur would be on a Friday, how would you bench licht for Shabbos? You couldn't, because Yom Kippur you can't light a candle. It would cause tremendous havoc. So Chazal said, Rosh Hashanah cannot be on a Friday or Sunday. Now why would Rosh Hashanah be on a Friday or Sunday? The answer is because the Mailad occurs on Friday or Sunday. The Mailad could occur at any time during the week. Right? The moon goes around the earth, it could occur any time. So now if the Mailad occurs on a Friday, what the Gemara is telling us is we push off Rosh Hashanah till Shabbos to ensure that Yom Kippur is not on the wrong day. If the Mailad of Tishrei occurs on a Wednesday, Rosh Hashanah is pushed off to the next day. Rosh Hashanah is pushed off to Thursday to ensure that Yom Kippur occurs on, instead of Friday, occurs on Shabbos. That is why Rosh Hashanah cannot be on those 2 days. And the Gemara says, Tav Chaf, Avrua, Av El Ula, Amar Mishum Yarkia, Rav Achab, Rav Chanin, Amar Mishum Masya, and the Chedushe Haran on the Daf says that we go like the Shita that holds Mishum Masya. Again, practically speaking, it comes out that we do not allow Rosh Hashanah to fall out on those days. Let's see an example of this. The Mailad of Tishrei, Tafshin Lamed Beis, 1971, occurred shortly before 2 a.m. on Monday. So therefore, Rosh Hashanah was on Monday. So that's very good. That was no problem. But the Mailad in 1972, Tafshin Lamed Gimel, occurred on Friday at 10:30 a.m. So, no, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah cannot be on Friday, because if Rosh Hashanah would have been Friday, Yom Kippur would have been on Sunday, and we can't allow that. And therefore, we ensure that that doesn't happen. The other rule that's not discussed in the Gemara here is, why can't Rosh Hashanah be on a Sunday? Why can't it be on a Sunday? Yom Kippur then is on a Tuesday, so what's the problem with that? The answer is, then Hashanah Rabbah would be on a Shabbos. And if Hashanah Rabbah would be on a Shabbos, we cannot take the Aravis, we cannot take the Hashanah, Kap Hashanahs. Now Tosfos asks a question, Tosfos Sukkah asks, one second, and it's really based on Yushalmi, that one second, Rosh Hashanah itself could fall out on a Shabbos. We don't have a problem with that. And what happens if Rosh Hashanah falls on a Shabbos? We don't pull Shaifer. We don't pull Shaifer. We don't take Lulav and Esrog. That's okay. Oh, but Aravis, that we don't allow on Shabbos. So Tosfos asks, I mean, Aravis is only a minig Nevi'im. And yet we don't allow Rosh Hashanah to be on a Tuesday, Rosh Hashanah to be on a Sunday, to ensure that Hashanah Rab is not on a Shabbos. And yet we skip blowing Shofar. Now, it hasn't happened in a while. The last time Rosh Hashanah was on a Shabbos was 2010. It's not going to happen until 2020. It's a very long break that we don't have it. But Lemaitza, so Tosfos asks, what's going on here? That for our Rabbis, now you have to understand, these are called Dechiyas. When we push up Rosh Hashanah a day, it's not just Rosh Hashanah a day. The entire year gets pushed up. Shavuos is a day later. Pesach is a day later. Your birthday is a day later. A bar mitzvah bachur is going to have his bar mitzvah a day later. Everything is pushed off just for the Aravos. Tosfos gives two answers. Very, very fascinating answers. One answer It's very simple. Is that you're not going to forget Shofar because you blow Shofar the next day. So you don't lose out Shofar totally. Arabis, what are you going to take? It's Arabis on a Shabbos. So what are you going to do? The day before? Too early. The day after? Shmini Atzeres. You can't take a shot of Shmini Atzeres. You're stuck. So don't let it happen. The other Teretz, beautiful Teretz, Taisha says, Chazal protected the Rabbonim's greater than the Doraisas. What does that mean? It means as follows. Imagine if 1 year they skipped Hoshanas because it's a Shabbos. So you know how shuls work. The next year everyone comes to Shana Rabbah and they say, Ba'uns is this the minig. You know, by us, it's not the minig. We didn't do it last year. You say, what do you mean? It's Allah Hashanah. No, not the minig here, right? I don't remember. We didn't do it. And you know, people in Chasron forget this minig. If Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, so what's going to happen? Next year someone's going to come to shul and say, by us, we don't blow Shofar. I mean, it's a pasuk of Chumash, right? Go open up a Chumash, you'll see. You have to blow Shofar. It was because it was Shabbos. Oh, yeah, that's right. So Chazal made sure to make sure that it would not happen. Now, the way a year is determined, and this is relevant to Cheshvan and Kislev, the way a year is determined is very simple. You take the Mailad of, let's talk about a regular year, not a leap year. You take these Mailadis of Tishrei. You take the Mailad of one Tishrei, and you take the Mailad of the next Tishrei. That means 12 months later, 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes, and one chelik, times 12, which is 354 days, 8 hours, and 876 chalakim. A year later, the Mailad happens 354 days later, and now calculate the next Mailad. We go all the way back to Bria Sa'olam. By Bria Sa'olam, the way we calculate the Mailadis, Adam Arisha, the day Adam Arisha was created on Friday, the Mailad occurred at 8 a.m. on Friday morning. And from that point on, that's called year 2 of Rosh Hashanah. Year 1 was when the world was created, on Chaf He'el. And then the Mailadis we count, Adayim Azeh, an unbroken chain. Every year, in a leap year is an extra month. And in the leap year calculations, 7 out of every 19 years are a leap year. Year 3, 6, 8, 11, 14, 17, and 19. This year is the second year of the 19-year cycle. Last year was the first year. We actually ended the cycle and we went into the new 19-year cycle. Okay, now, fine. So what happens? If we calculate this, let's take this year. This past Rosh Hashanah was determined has to be on a Thursday. Why? Because the Mailad either fell out on Wednesday or Thursday. The next year's Rosh Hashanah, the Mailad occurs and Rosh Hashanah has to be on next year, it's going to be on a Monday. So how do we make sure, how many days does the year have to have? One Mailad is on Thursday, next Rosh Hashanah is on a Monday. How many days are in the year? So you count the days. You see, well, the first day of the year is a Thursday. You go 50 weeks later, you have 50 weeks, that's 350 days. Thursday, Friday, Shabbat, Sunday, 4 more days. This year has to be 354 days. So how do you make, there are 3 types of years. 353, 354, 355. 354 means Cheshvan is going to have 29 days, Kislev is going to have 30 days. And that's why this past week was only one day Rosh Chodesh, because we have to make it work. Next month, this coming month, Kislev is going to have this month, Kislev will have 30 days. That 30th day of Kislev, the rest of the year is smooth sailing. Teves is 29 days, Shvat is 30 days, Adar is 29 days. That's standard. That 30th day of Kislev ensures that Rosh Hashanah falls out on Monday. If we would not have a 30th day of Kislev, Rosh Hashanah would fall out on Sunday. We can't have that. And therefore, when we celebrate Rosh Chodesh now, it's for a reason why the days work out 29 and 30. Now, besides Le'adu Rosh in the Gemara Daf Chaf Amud Beis addresses a rule known as a Mailat Zakeh. This is how the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara is a very complicated Gemara. It's Machlokes Rashi and Baal HaMaor, how to understand the Gemara. We don't have time to go through the Lashon of the Gemara, but I'm just going to explain to you what the Baal HaMaor says and how the Baal HaMaor addresses the international dateline, and then we'll get into some of the halachas of the dateline. The Gemara is talking, as this, the Baal HaMaor explains as follows. If the Mailat, I'll tell you the rule and we'll explain why. The Gemara is talking about something the Rambam in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh calls a Mailat Zakeh. A Mailat Zakeh means an old Mailat. Now, how does a Mailat get old? What does that mean? It means the Mailat occurs late in the day. If a Mailat occurs at 12 noon or later, then Rosh Hashanah is pushed off to the next day. Now let's explain the simple explanation, and then we'll get into the details. The simple explanation is like this. We're Mekadesh al-pi cheshbon. That means we determine Rosh Hashanah via calculation. We want the calculations to be similar to if there would be a Beis Din. Had there been a Beis Din, Edom would come. Now, if the Maalot occurred at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, do you really think Edom would have been able to see? Do you really think Edom would have been able to see the Chaydash? You don't see the new moon right away. Because, right, the moon goes around the earth. The sun is shining. As we know, the moon gets smaller, smaller, smaller. There's always a period of time. That's all so you there. 24 hours, you can't see the moon. There's always a period of time. There's always a period of time that you can't see the moon. How long does it take to see the new moon? So, nowadays, I think with the telescope, maybe 13 hours, 14 hours. With your eye, you could see it maybe 15 hours, something like that. The Baal Ma'or understands, the Gemara, that it takes 20, Rashi learns 6 hours. So that's simple, 6 hours, new moon. If the Maalot occurs after 12 noon, you have to push off Rosh Hashanah. Because again, we're trying to mimic, had there been a Beis Din, what would have happened? The Baal Ma'or says the following rule. The Baal Ma'or says it takes 24 hours to see the new moon. Could be the Baal Ma'or meant that, you know, even though you can see it 16 hours, but to get a better view, like 16 hours, you have to be in the exact place, at the exact time, and the best conditions. The Baal Ma'or says it takes 24 hours. And here's the rule of Baal Ma'or. As long as somebody in the world, anywhere in the world, can see the new moon on that day is Rosh Hashanah. Right? Again, if somebody could see this moon today, let's say today is Rosh Hashanah, right? Today is a Thursday. Let's just say through Tishrei right now, it's Rosh Hashanah. If somebody in the world could see the new moon on Thursday, then Rosh Hashanah is going to be today. If nobody in the world could see this new moon until tonight, everybody's going to see it tonight or tomorrow, then Rosh Hashanah is going to be tomorrow. Now, it can't be tomorrow. Tomorrow's a Friday, so it will be Shabbos. What's the basis of his rule? It says like this. Who in the world is going to see the new moon? See, he makes a point, and here you look at the map that we've given out. He has something known as the Ktzeh HaMizrach. The Ktzeh HaMizrach, if you look at this map, those who didn't get it, it's up here. Feel free to take. There is a line, the Yerushalayim. Everybody knows Yerushalayim is. That's the Yerushalayim line. If you go 18 hours to the west, we're 18 time zones to the west from Yerushalayim. That's the Ktzeh HaMayriv. And if you go 6 time zones to the east, that's the Ktzeh HaMizrach, the most easternmost point of the world. That's what the Baal Ma'or is talking about. What is that? That's the line that we write, Chazon Ish line, where it's dotted. It's really the Baal Ma'or line. I'll explain to you why I call it Chazon Ish line in a few minutes. But the Baal Ma'or tells us there's a place on earth we'll call it, if we want to talk more scientific, 90 degrees, right? There's 360 degrees around the globe. Just for purposes of illustration, Philadelphia is 70, they use Greenwich. Greenwich is London, 0 degrees. Just as far as numbers are concerned, to give you an idea of how far we're going here. Philadelphia is 75 degrees west of Greenwich. If you look at a map, on a globe, you'll see it. 75 degrees runs from Philadelphia. 90 degrees, and that's why 75 degrees is the central part of the Eastern time zone. If you go to the 90 degree line, the 90-degree line runs just east of St. Louis, Missouri. The 105-degree line runs through Denver, Colorado. The 120-degree line, I think, runs through Reno, Nevada. That's just to give you a distance. If I say, what's the distance from Teaneck to Los Angeles, you'd say it's 3 time zones over. But scientifically, you would say it's probably about 45 degrees to the west on the globe. Approximately, it's a little more, actually, than, maybe it's actually less. Whatever it is, it's around 45 degrees to the west. 90 degrees to the west, right? 90 degrees, you're going further. Anchorage, Alaska is 120 degrees west of Greenwich. Hawaii is approximately 135 degrees west. So if you want to know what the distance of what the Baal Ma'or is saying, he's basically saying the distance from here to Hawaii, forget about going south, right? We're just looking at that line. Hawaii is actually 5 time zones over, so it's not quite as far. You'd have to go to American Samoa. American Samoa is 6 time zones west of. In other words, American Samoa, it's right now 2:23 a.m. on Thursday morning. right? It's 2:23 a.m. on Thursday morning. They're six times, that's the middle of the Pacific Ocean. The Chazon Ish, the Baal HaMor is saying, this line is six time zones, 90 degrees, a quarter of the way around the globe to the east. That's where this line is. And that's the Chazon Ish. It's a line that runs through China and runs through Australia. So, Zuck the Baal HaMor. The Baal HaMor says like this. If somebody walks 90 degrees east, six time zones east, and someone else walks 18 time zones to the west, 270 degrees to the west, what will happen? They'll meet, right? They'll meet. In other words, if I'm going six time zones to the east on a trip, and you're going west, you're going 18 time zones to the west, we're going to meet, right? We're going to meet somewhere because I went a quarter of the way around the globe. You went three quarters of the way around the globe. We're going to meet. Talked about more. There's a line. That's true. That line that runs through China, there's a city it runs through. It runs through two cities I know of, Changchun, China, and actually Star Kick is a heksha there in a factory there about. Maybe I get to go there so I can actually, you know, we'll have a whole ceremony where that line, where this line is, right? The helical line. And then, if you go from Yerushalayim, someone goes east, and someone goes west. So let's talk about the person going west. The Baal HaMor says like this. When it's 12 noon in Yerushalayim, let's say it's 11 a.m. in Yerushalayim, what time is it in Changchun on the eastern side? It was 18 time zones to the west. If it's 11 a.m. on Monday, 11 a.m. on Monday in Yerushalayim, what time is it if you go 18 hours to the west? If it's 5 p.m. on Sunday. So I talked about it more like this. Let's go back to the rule. As long as somebody in the world sees this new moon, Rosh Hashanah can be that day. Okay? The Maimon occurs at 11 a.m. on Monday. Somebody in the eastern part of Changchun, which is the western tip of the world, it's that Maimon, what's the time of the Maimon there? 5 p.m. on Monday. It takes 24 hours to see the Maimon. 24 hours later, it's 5 p.m. on Tuesday. Again, if the Maimon happens at 11 a.m. Monday in Yerushalayim, what time is it in the eastern sections of Changchun? It's 5 p.m. on Sunday. It takes 24 hours to see the new moon. What time is that? That's 5 p.m. on Monday. So let's answer the Baal HaMor's question. Could somebody see the new moon on Monday and go to a Beis Din who will be Mekadesh the Chaydesh? Yes. Therefore, this is the sugya. This is the Gemara. Therefore, Rosh Hashanah could be on Monday because the Maimon occurred before noon in the western tip of the world, which are parts of China. Somebody could actually see that moon. It'll take 11:59 a.m. Same thing. It's 5:59 p.m. Somebody on Monday could see the new moon. Let's move up. You can't see it. Correct. Yes, that's a good question. The emes is, The new moon occurs. The metzias is you could only see a new moon as the sun is setting. Right when the sun, watch, go outside right after Rosh Chodesh. Right tonight. I'm sure we're holding a few days after Rosh Chodesh. Last night I saw a new moon. Right, the moon is setting when it goes down. When the sun goes down, I think the pshat is that if you're right there, right before the shkia, which is still day, you do see the moon. You see the sliver of a moon. The sun goes down, but right before the sun goes down, you already could see the moon. That's the only time you could see it.
Unless it happens to be nightfall, happens to be the same.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. But it works. In other words, think about it. If the Maimon occurred at 11:30 in Yerushalayim, it's 5:30 in Changchun. So now it's 5:30 Monday. That's when it's first visible, and I'm in the right spot because at Shkia is when you see the new moon. Correct. In other words, it's visible and that's good enough. So somewhere, someone in the world. But now let's go to 12 o'clock. Let's say the Maimon occurs. Let's just make it simple. At 1 p.m. If it's 1 p.m. on Monday, the Maimon, then what time is it in the eastern suburbs of Changchun? It's 7 p.m. 7 p.m. Monday night. 7 p.m. Sunday night, right? It's 18 hours back. 7 p.m. Sunday night. Halachically, 7 p.m. Sunday night is already in base. If they wrote a ksuba to chasana, you'd write b'sheni b'shabbos, right? It's already halachically Monday. So it takes 24 hours to see the new moon. When are they going to see the new moon? They're going to see the new moon. They're going to see it Monday night at 7 p.m. That's already Tuesday. Too late. Too late. Meilat Zaken, Rosh Hashanah is a day later. And therefore, that's the rule of the Chazal, and we stick to that rule exactly. That's been the rule that's been used since, you know, for the last 1600 years. Mamish, this rule. And it can make it by, it can miss it by 2 minutes, and it can make it by 2 minutes. Actually, but you could see the new moon. I've seen the new moon. It's very rare, but on Leil Rosh Chodesh, if the Mailat's running early, because of these rules, in other words, you could push off, now you can have a Maila, think about it, at 1 p.m. on, you ever wonder why Kiddush Levana runs so early sometimes? You know why? You could have a Maila of Tishrei, let's say, the Maila could be at 1 p.m. on Thursday. And when is Rosh Hashanah? Shabbos, right? Because afternoon, Maila Zaken. And then it's pushed off to Friday, Le'adu Reish. It's pushed off to Shabbos. So you could have a Maila on Thursday at 1 o'clock, which determines Kiddush Levana. Kiddush Levana, the latest time for Kiddush Levana is based on the Shas HaMaila. It's halfway through the month. And now, you know, Rosh Hashanah is not till Shabbos. So like, I've gone out, Leil Rosh Chodesh, and seen the new moon. Mamish, it's Aleph. It's the night of Aleph. And see, it's very not common, but I've seen it. You can't say Kiddush Levana, you gotta wait 3 days to say Kiddush Levana. As a side note, I was kibbutz that actually 10 years from now, I was kibbutz, we could take a cruise. I want to sponsor a cruise to Rapa in the French Polynesia in the South Pacific. Why? Because that's the western tip of the world, and therefore the Mailat, technically the time is much later. The Mailat is extremely early for Chodesh Tevis that year. You can actually say Kiddush Levana on Leil Rosh Chodesh, because it's already 3 days after the Mailat. In other words, you're all the way western tip of the world. Imagine that, going outside Leil Rosh Chodesh, Mamish, it's Aleph, and being able to say Kiddush Levana. You gotta go there. And that year, a very, very rare opportunity. So again, maybe we'll work on the such a cruise. Now, so Zakta Chazanish, what do you see from the Zakta Chazanish? What do you see from this? What do you see from this Balamor? The Balamor is telling you there's an international dateline because he's telling you this. Say Hamayriv, the western tip and the eastern tip are 6 hours later, 18 hours back. That means in Changchun you have two sides of the town. On the western part, on the eastern side of the town, which is the western tip of the world, it's going to be right, 11 a.m. on Monday. And on the eastern, the western side of the city, which is the eastern tip of the world, it's going to be 1 o'clock on Tuesday. That's the international dateline. What is the international dateline? So the civil dateline, which I have here, is a line which runs between Alaska and Siberia. It zigzags. And then it takes a little, you see the little thing that looks like the sheep's head, it cuts around Kiribati, and then it runs between Samoa and American Samoa, and it runs east of New Zealand. That is the civil dateline that the world reckons with. But how does Halacha deal with the dateline? Where is the Halachic dateline? So Chazanish wanted to say, you have a riot from the Sugya Rosh Hashanah that you're learning, that it runs through Asia and Australia. Now, the Balamor said, the Chazanish says there's a Yisoid Olam. Yisoid Olam was a Rishon Talmud in a Rush. And Yisoid Olam says you can't have an international dateline run through a city or run through land. Because imagine you'd have confusion. Let's say the line ran through this town. Okay? Let's say you have two streets in Changchun. One street is called Palisade, okay, and one street is called Windsor. Okay, those are two streets that run through town here, right? Palisades is to the east of Windsor, is that right?
Yeah.
Right, okay, perfect. Palisades is the western tip of the world. Windsor is the eastern tip of the world. The dateline runs right between them. So imagine if you want to have 2 days of Shabbos. So very simple, you spend Shabbos on Windsor, and then Shal Shudas time, you walk to Palisades, which is a few blocks, right? A few blocks. And now it's Shabbos again. They're just saying Kabbalah Shabbos. Let's say it's tax season, and you want to have, you know, you have a lot of work to do, so you want to have 1 day of Shabbos. So you spend Friday afternoon on Windsor, and then by Kabbalah Shabbos time, you close your computer, you have a second computer by Palisades, you take a walk, they're finishing Shal Shudas, you have 1 hour of Shabbos, right? Benish Mashas, okay. And then you back to work. Right? That's what would happen. It'd be an unbelievable thing. Unbelievable thing. You can't have that. Zakta Chazanish, the line goes around. That's why the purple is in the map. the line cuts east, and therefore Siberia is all part of the Eretz Yisrael side, and all of Australia is schlepped along with the western side as well. However, according to the Chazon Ish, New Zealand, Japan, and Guam, and Tasmania, and all those lines, according to them, it's really a day behind than what they say it is. In other words, in Japan, when they say it's Saturday, it's really Friday. In Japan, in New Zealand, when they say it's Sunday, it's really Shabbos. Let's just explain for a minute. When you fly from here to Japan, to Tokyo, you cross the dateline. So they say, okay, turn your clock ahead 24 hours. According to the Chazon Ish, when you fly from here to Japan, you don't cross the dateline. There's no dateline is west of Japan. It's like going to Hawaii, right? You don't cross anything. And therefore, it's not a day behind. It's the same day as America. In other words, in Japan, it's not, let's say, 14 hours ahead. They're 10 hours behind. I'm not sure exactly the number, but whatever it is, they're 10 hours behind. So in Japan right now, it is not Thursday night. It is right now Wednesday night. They're behind us, not ahead. Came Rabbi Chimucha to Kuchinsky, and he argued. Rabbi Chimucha said, no, Eretz Yisrael is the center of the world. The line runs opposite of Yerushalayim. And therefore, that line, you see Rabbi Tuchachinsky's line, that line runs through Alaska, and it runs east of Hawaii. So according to Rabbi Chimucha Tuchachinsky, Hawaii is on the other side of the dateline. Because Hawaii right now we're saying is 5 hours behind us. In Hawaii it's 3:35 a.m. According to the locals, 3:35 a.m. Thursday morning. 3:35 Thursday morning. But according to Rabbi Chimucha Tuchachinsky, it's 3:35 Thursday night, Friday morning. It's Mishmar night, right? So it's already Thursday night. It's almost Erev Shabbos. Which means if you're in Hawaii right now, and tomorrow, if we'd be having this conversation tomorrow morning, we would say, one second, in Hawaii they say it's Friday morning, but Rabbi Tuchachinsky holds it's Shabbos. It's Friday night. It's middle of the night, Friday night. No, it's Thursday night, it's really Friday night. So the Nafkamina, we have huge ramifications here. Famous story with the Mir Yeshiva in Kobe, Japan, right? That's the famous story. These Pesukei Dinim were addressed in detail. But we have huge Nafkaminas, Lahalacha, between Rabbi Tuchachinsky and the Chazon Ish. There are other shitas in the middle. I call them the Mid-Pacific Paiskim. They are just different Paiskim that have lines that run closer to the civil dateline. This is just one example that nicks the eastern tip of Siberia and goes down. But what do you see? According the Nafkaminas are huge. And what there follows. If you go and what's the practical ramifications? If a person goes to Japan or New Zealand for Shabbos, they should ask a Shiloh when to keep Shabbos. And the many Paisim will say, you know what? You were talking to the Rices here. Rav Heinemann Starkei says this is that you Sunday you should keep. Don't do deraisas, because according to the Chazon Ish, it's Shema Mishabbos. You do Malacha deraisa. If you go to Hawaii, on Friday is an issue. According to many places, they'll say, you know, Tuchachinsky holds it Shabbos. So, right, how are you going to do Malacha? So therefore, when you go to these places, one should ask a Shaila. Now, the other issue of the dateline, which is fascinating, relates to crossing the dateline. And this is not directly in the Gemara, but given that we're talking about the dateline, we have to address what happens when you cross the dateline. And that's as follows. Let's talk about the most common issue in crossing the dateline. When you let's say you get on a plane. You get on a plane and you want to fly from United Flight 862. And it leaves, let's say on Thursday, it left at Hong Kong at 11:30 p.m. on Thursday. And it lands at 11:30 a.m. on Thursday, and it lands at 9:20 a.m. on Thursday. It's Hong Kong to Los Angeles. Now, the question is, what do you mean? How do you take off at 11:30 a.m. and land at 9:20 a.m. the same day? The answer, you're flying. This is not the science fiction over here. How does this happen? The answer is, you cross the dateline. So basically, you're on the plane. Think about it. What happens when you fly to Eretz Yisrael east? Forget about the dateline for a minute. When you fly to Eretz Yisrael eastbound, what happens? You take off at night. You take off in the afternoon. And there's a shkia, the sun goes down, and there's a netzachama, the sun comes up, You got Adam Ma'ariv, you got Adam Shachris, because you're going against the sun. You're going this way, the sun is going that way, so to speak. The sun goes up, the sun comes down, etc. That's what happens. Same thing happens here. You take off from Hong Kong, and the sun, you take off at 11:30 in the morning, sun goes down, sun comes up. But you cross the date line. So on the plane they announce, or you watch your screen, and they say, we are now going, right? You took off 11:30 a.m. Thursday, the time is getting later, 12:30, 1:30, 2:30 p.m., 4 p.m., 5 p.m., 6 p.m., Thursday, and somewhere along the way they say, oh, back to Wednesday, you've gone back a day, and now it's Wednesday at 6 p.m. or whatever. And then you land behind the time. You down in Chakras again. You down in Chakras in Hong Kong, Thursday morning. And now there's a machlekes hapaiskim here. The Btzel Chachma says, you do daven again. Well, why do you daven again? Because, well, you had a sunset, that was night, daven ma'ariv, and you had a sunrise. See, daven shachris. However, the Emek Tshuva says, no, you don't daven again. I mean, Thursday morning, you daven in Hong Kong. And now you land 9 o'clock in the morning in L.A., you get daven shachris. I daven shachris Thursday morning already. Right? As soon as you took off, 11:30 in the morning, an hour later, on the plane, you daven mincha. Thursday's mincha. Now you go to shul Thursday afternoon in L.A., I davened Thursday afternoon already, so I don't have to daven again. So it's a machlokes, do you look at the sunrise, sunsets, or do you look at the day that you're holding by? And you have the shiloh the other way, if you fly the other way. Fly L.A. to Hong Kong, you fly at night, let's see, fly all day. You could take off at Vancouver, 3 p.m. Sunday, you land in Hong Kong, 7 p.m. on Monday. Okay, so what happens in that flight? In that flight, it's all day, right? It's all day. You know, when you go from Europe to America, it's a long day. It's a huge day. It's a long day, that flight. But what happens? You skip a day. All of a sudden on the plane, they say, oh, it's not 4 p.m. Sunday, it's now 4 p.m. Monday. So do I have to put on tefillin again? Same machlokes the other way around. On one hand, well, I never put on tefillin Monday, so I need to put it on. I need daven mincha again. I daven Sunday's mincha in Vancouver. I have to daven Monday's mincha. On the other hand, one second, tefillin, I put on tefillin today, put on tefillin this morning, there was no sunset and sunrise to machayev me again. So you have the same machloikas that exists. There are interesting shilas. You could actually, my uncle had a daughter, Olah Shalom, my cousin in Australia, and he called me up with the following shila. He called the airline, said, give me, he was a Rebbe. For many years, actually, he was a Rebbe in Manhattan Day School for 40 plus years, my Uncle Usher. And he said, okay, give me the first free ticket. I have miles. Give me the first free ticket you have. You know, stay away from Shabbos. It could be a Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. That's it. Okay, so they book him, you know, July 9th. Monday night, July the 9th. Perfect. Monday night, perfect. He's there Wednesday morning, no problem. He looks at the calendar and he sees Tuesday, Yeshivas and Thomas. So what was the Shiloh? He took off Monday night and flew all night. And when the sun comes up, it's already Wednesday morning. I said, Uncle Usher, you're putter from fasting. You skip Shavuos and Thomas. There was no fast. You skipped the day. So you didn't have to fast. You didn't have to fast. My favorite shiloh here is a bar mitzvah bacher. Let's say, I'm going to use a tinus for an example. This is my favorite case. Let's say a bar mitzvah bacher is bar mitzvah on Yud Ches Thomas. And it's a Tuesday, Shavuos and Thomas that year is a Tuesday. Your Tuesday Shavuos v'Tammuz, the Bar Mitzvah Bachar finds himself in Seoul, South Korea. And there, it's Leil Yud Ches Tammuz, Mazel Tov. He's Bar Mitzvah, they make some L'chaims, right? And now they board the plane to Los Angeles. It's already, he's Bar Mitzvah. Tuesday night, Yud Ches Tammuz, he boards the plane, gets on a plane, he flies to L.A. where he lands on Shavuos v'Tammuz in the afternoon. Right? Because again, it goes a day back. He comes to Shul, and he tells the Gabbai, listen, I'd like to have an Aliyah. And the Gabbai says, you know, very nice, Yanko, but I have your bar mitzvah invitation. I'm looking very forward to your bar mitzvah, which is tomorrow. Yud Ches Tammuz. I can't give you an aliyah yet. I'm sorry. You have to wait till Yud Ches. And he says, no, you don't understand. I was in Seoul, South Korea, and I became bar mitzvah already. You went backwards in time, right? So are you bar mitzvah? Once you're bar mitzvah, always bar mitzvah? Or do we say you were bar mitzvah, but you undid the bar mitzvah? So the Sefer Tarach Yisrael speaks about this. And in his Sefer, and he brings Machalikas HaPaiskim that addressed this issue, do you undo Bar Mitzvah or not? Mamish, a fascinating, fascinating Shiloh. Just to end in Divrei Agoda, for the 2 minutes I have, that relates to Hanukkah, and that is that We mentioned earlier in the shiur that the months that toggle are Cheshvan and Kislev, 29-30. They could both be 29, they could both be 30, 29-30. So the Tiferet Tzral in the Shvila Durkiyah, the beginning of Seder Mayid, says that why did they pick Cheshvan and Kislev? So one shot is it's we get take care of it right away, right? You know, rectify the issue. The other issue is that we want to keep it smooth. In other words, imagine if like the days of Iyar switched. You don't want that. If Iyar is 29-30, well then Shavuos would get shifted. It would be mass confusion. Shavuos could be one day the 6th, one day the 7th. Right? That's the whole Gemara and Shabbos. That what day is Shavuos? You don't want to do it then. And do it during Adar. You don't want to do that either. Everybody knows it's 30 days between Purim and Pesach. You're going to confuse people. People are buying chametz. Don't do it then. So what do you do? You do it. Kislev, it's nice and calm. Cheshvan, you know, what are you messing up? No big deal. And Kislev. So many, many years bother me the following question. What do you mean Kislev you don't mess up? The halacha is, the Mishabur has to go out of his way to tell somebody, that, let's say somebody had a yard site, someone passed away le'aleinu on Gimel Teves, and last day of Hanukkah. Zokta, the Mishabur, you better be careful, the yard site's Gimel Teves. Gimel Teves is not always last day of Hanukkah. This year it's Beis Teves. Why? Because Kislev could be 29, because it could be 30. So if there's 29 days in Kislev, the last day of Hanukkah is Gimel Teves. And if there's 30 days in Kislev, last day of Hanukkah is Beis Teves. You don't go by the day of Hanukkah, you go by the day of the Hebrew day. So you got a bar mitzvah bacher who's born on the third day of Teves, which was not Hanukkah, but his bar mitzvah will be Hanukkah. It all depends on how it falls. So there's confusion. Why those months? So I want to say like this. We know the Yevanim wanted to undo, what? Mila, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh. What's so bad about Rosh Chodesh? So all the Yom Tovim would be messed up. We live by Yom Tovim, right? We get such, our whole lifeblood is Yom Tovim. So they wanted to undo it, because they knew if the Yom Tovim are confusing, then we would not have Yom Tovim. The Chashmonaim fought back. And of course we were victorious, and we kept Rosh Chodesh out of Yom Hazeh. When do we fix the calendar? When do we ensure that the calendar works out? At the beginning of Kislev, we had one day Rosh Chodesh. That's step A. The Makom HaPatish, the final nail, right? The promontory point nail that puts it all together. The golden spike is when we come to the 30th day of Kislev at the end of the month, Mitten Chanukah, in the middle of Chanukah, what do we have? We're going to have the 30th day of Kislev. That will take care of the entire year. Saying the Yevanim, you try to undo our beautiful Luach, our Messiah from all the way from Aloha Moshe Mitzrayim. We're going to fix the calendar specifically during Chanukah, the time you wanted to uproot it. We go ahead and we celebrate Rosh Chodesh and all the Yom Tov and Baruch Hashem. Ad bi'askav, Rebbe Yomeinu, Amen. Thank you very much for the opportunity.